what they're doing here is they're looking at the first half, which is distinct. It contradicts the Calvinistic theory. Therefore, they're saying, you know, this place is not worth anything more than it. You can just pray the verse of theory and start praying with it. Next chart. Now, I don't know if the same problem is not the same in terms of confession. I'll say it again in a question last night that he did not confess with his mouth before Jesus until after he believed. That's what he did in that time. Stay sure to yourself. And he already said in the last place, and he said in the answer to another question last night that he had to confess five and he read the Psalms 13. He had to confess to be said. Now, let's jump here and say that all I just did was read the scripture. Now, I don't think that's okay in the first place when he said that. You have to confess by the with the mouth to be saved. That's what he did. And God, he also did that you confess Christ with the mouth after you believe it. But the Bible has to confess on the mouth so that you believe it. So I don't have to say it for that. Now, a person is getting in the way. We know that person is being one of us that is that God obviously believes what God said. Jesus spent most of his time last night and tonight talking about, first of all, Acts 13, 39, believe. Everybody that believes will be justified for all things. Let's talk about Isaiah 55, verse 3. I don't think I got to that last night. I may have. But he definitely brought it up again tonight and asked him a question about it. In the fleeting, everybody look at Isaiah 55, verse 3, because I believe this verse is the same right up this door again. Well, I think that's what I'm saying. Notice Isaiah 55, verse 3. It's not verse 3. It says, incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. Notice that thing we keep quoting. Hear, and your soul shall live. He said, Chad, didn't hear. Did I hear that earlier that time? But I could ask you, see, did I hear that earlier that time? Did you ask a question of really? If you take just the definition for ear, I looked up Webster's, it means to perceive by means of the ear. Now, if you take just that same definition, to perceive by means of the ear, and you think about that's why Romans 10, 17, by faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, shows that faith comes by hearing from the heart of hearing. So if you mean by this ear, just the straight definition of ear, and that's what you're saying, that you have a person being saved before they believe. That's not just your proposition, but he's going to say that's what matters. But now, what I know you think what you want to say is that ear represents, in this passage, the complete response of the reply at that time. The complete response. I really say you believe this ear includes belief. Okay? But what we know, the strict definition of ear does not talk about that. He perceives by means of ear. Faith believes it's an entity of being used here. It's not just the strict definition of here that's in here. It's A-C-R-E. But that here, here stands for the complete response, including belief and repentance. So to say faith, here comes the four ways of the strict definition of faith. But the complete response was passage word. Remember, I thought you made faith in the passage word. Faith, trust, love, the Holy Ghost. Here is being used as a package word, and it puts everything that's different in it to complete the song. Now, in the Hebrew passage, like Acts 13, 39, let's go there real quick. Hebrew, this is the main passage last night. I don't think it's going to be tonight. Acts 13, 39. For by him, all that believe are justified from all faith. And he said, they that rules out baptism because baptism is not mentioned here. We're not saying baptism comes after believing. But you know, see, did you know that belief comes after hearing? Go back down to 55 and 3. Belief comes after hearing. Unless you understand hear as an active word, which means you include the complete response. What you just learned, you rule out the reasoning for the complete argument. And it's the same reason you do in Acts 55 and 3 that hear stands for the complete response. Take that to the Acts 13, 39, and we'll say that belief stands for the complete response. So we don't know what the foot is on the barrel by the action. But we just know that it means that the foot is on. We don't know that in general what that itself is. We go to other actions and we find out what the complete response is. Jesus said, he has a little and is baptized, shall we say. And then I put a song around the air and say, wash away that thing. The complete response. In order to have your sins forgiven, while you're attached to, we put it back in. In Hebrews chapter 8, verses 10 through 11, he says, I will write my laws in their hearts and things like that. You know, God writes the laws in our hearts. Now, you know that. It's about the gospel. He presents to us the gospel, and we are taught the gospel, and we learn the gospel. Look at John chapter 10. John chapter 6, verses 44 and 45, I'm sorry. John 6. 44:45, he says, no man come to me except the Father has sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up on the last day. It is written in the Bible. And they shall be all the children of God. Every man that has heard and has learned of the Father cometh from this. How does my God resolve in our heart? It's through the gospel. It's within the gospel. We learn from the gospel. You know, a little child learns something from the gospel. And God, as you can look at one thing, God is learning that little child. But the little child is not become a Christian yet. God works on a teenager. When the gospel convicts the teenager, a 22-year-old teenager, that's from Christian. John is putting his soul in his heart. And God either accepting him or rejecting him. And then when the person believes and baptized as Jesus said, then God forgives him. In Ezekiel chapter 36, then he mentions verses 25 through 27. He says, there will I sprinkle clean water upon you, shall be clean, so forth. Verse 26, in the language of Hebrew. And he says, in part also I give you, I will put my spirit in you. Verse 27. First of all, this is not talking about the New Testament covenant. I don't believe. If you notice verse 24, he says, I will take you from among the heathen, gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into their land. Verse 28, and you shall dwell in the land that I will take your father, you shall be my people, and I will be your God. This is talking about God talking to the Israelites. At that time, he thinks sometimes you're going to go back to your land. I believe that God, let me correct you from the Holy Spirit. That was fulfilled when he invited me to the temple. Is that right, Father? That was fulfilled before Jesus ever came on earth. No, let's just go to the temple on the second time. What was the truth? Not that he said it was true. This great thing works on you. It's not specifically talking about that. It's not. It's talking about the forgiveness of sin that God gives you. And how do you know when that occurred? I was thinking for the first one that time. Satan has told you. He says to me, you are afraid that belief is a type of word, but Paul wasn't a believer on the Damascus Road. And he says, look out, this next piece of the cross, that's a crack of life. That's a crack of my belief. And you believe the same thing. Because you believe. And in Acts 13:39, you believe that the type of word is belief. But in Hebrews 6:1, and in Acts 13:39, talks about believing. See, he believes in equipped repentance there. But in Hebrews 6:1, it lists faith and repentance separately. Therefore, it's not a package for there. It's not a significant for repentance. The same thing's been done here. In Isaiah 55, verse 3, then he believes here, and here is used as a package for it. It references the complete response. But we read a passage last night, Matthew chapter 7, verse 26, where it's not used in the sense of a complete response. It's just here, meaning, at this definition, to proceed by means of fear. In Matthew 27, verse 26, it says, therefore, if you receive faith in mind, and you will be mine. Here, but this is not. It actually talks about here in the sense to proceed by means of the ear. That's not talking about here in the sense of a complete response. But yet, I believe sometimes you see the word here, it is talking about the complete response. Sometimes you see the word believe, and that's something that's like that. It is used with reference to the complete response. Sometimes you see the word belief as in Hebrews 6:21, it's not a book of it, it's a question, it's a devil. Anyway, sometimes you see the word belief as in Mark 6:16, it is not instantly negative, including baptism, it's listed separately there. Even in Greek, sometimes words are used as a negative, and sometimes they're not. For example, I brought up the case of clean hand of cattle as a negative last night. When we use the word clean hand of cattle, the word hand is used as a negative. Does that mean that every time we use the word head, we use it as a penalty? No, sometimes when we say head, we mean just the head itself. A word that is used as a penalty, a heart, a soul, is all of them. sometimes not used as a synonym. If there's never a case where a word is only used as a synonym, you can always have meaning all by itself, or it can't be a part of anybody else. Then you see a long dissertation about a transcript with a number of passages that, in a sense, you're saying, before what you believe. You know what the Father Christ is your life? You know what it is? They would say that your proposition is false. But the proposition says you're saying that the point of faith, and I see you try to get up here and present some Calvinistic views that Tommy discussed with his bullet in two debates about this summer. Some Calvinistic views that you're saying before you believe. What if I would accept that? Which I don't. All of them do need to prove this proposition wrong. Or you say you're saying this point of faith. But none of these passages today show that you're saying before you believe. For example, let's look at John 8, verse 47. John 8, verse 47. He says, our God, here is God's word. He therefore hears and not because you are not of God. He says, see, unless you're of God already, you can't hear God. Is that what truth is? Well, you said, I don't think God was pleased you were necessary to point your child up. Now you're saying that you can hear God if you're already a child of God. You see the contradiction you've got there. And so a person that is not a Christian listens to God. But you can't have both ways. You can't have hear is necessary to become a child of God. And in this passage, the child of God is necessary to hear. You can't have it both ways. Notice Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. That's another passage he gave to try to prove that a person is saved in a sense, as Greg was saying, before they believe. And all that dwell on the earth shall worship him, whose name shall not be written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. This does not say anything about a person being saved before the foundation of the world. As a matter of fact, what it does talk about is Jesus being slain before the foundation of the world. That's not about anybody being saved before the foundation of the world. How was Jesus slain before the foundation of the world? I would agree with you that he was actually slain about 2,000 years ago. But he was slain in purpose before the foundation of the world. There's God's purpose that it would happen before the foundation of the world. This is not about a person being slain before the world. He was first said, oh, God, you're wrong. He's heard nothing better. Let me look at some passages about that. This is the same gospel for us. How did you? Let's look quickly at Mark 15, verse 16. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. Now, if you're here, we're going to get a little treatment on these passages more tomorrow, but I want to expose them to you because these passages prove conclusively that you have to be baptized to be saved. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. In Acts 2:38, Peter said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. That shows that in order to get the remission of sins, you must be baptized. Look at the verse and see for yourself. There's nobody who read that. In Acts 26, verse 16, look at Israel around. Saul was told to rise to be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. What did Paul have to do to have his sins washed away? He had to be baptized. Now, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, the Bible talks about Noah and eight souls being saved by water. In verse 21 says the right picture. Where is it? Even baptism does not all come down, very much. Not the clean words of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Notice that this picture, Noah is headed in the eight souls being saved by water. There's the picture. That's the type. The end type, the real, is baptism. It says, that baptism saves you. Now that verse either says that or it doesn't. These five passages that I brought real quickly in the last year, they prove that baptism is necessary for salvation. There's no way to get around unless you just get up and say, well, that's all ignorance.